We were talking the last couple of weeks about God's plan to grow the church His way. We talked about the fact that the first step was for the individual Christian to get the sin out of his life, or her life, as the case may be. And we talked about then the second week that keeping the church glorious, in other words, keeping the sin out of the church, keeping the church pure, was the second step. This third step, as with many sets of instructions, the third step seems very simple, but it's really quite involved. The third step in Jesus' plan to grow the church is to exalt Christ, to exalt Jesus. You can put either one of those, or you can put Jesus Christ in that blank there. We need to exalt Jesus. And the reason I say it's simple is because that sounds pretty simple. We need to put Jesus first. We need to lift Him up. But there's more to it than that. Because there are many areas where we need to lift Jesus up. There are many things about Jesus that need to be exalted. We're going to begin with the name. And that's why we had all of the songs about the name of Jesus. The scripture that was read in Isaiah 9 prophesied about the coming Christ, the coming Messiah, the King who was going to sit upon the throne of David and was going to reign forever. And there would be no end to His kingdom. And He says that His name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We know that the name of Jesus is a special name, and we need to be sure that we're exalting that name as we should. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12, Paul says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." I want us to notice there in verse 12, he says the first step is that we have to have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ glorified in us. That means we've got to exalt that name. We've got to lift it up. We've got to keep it a pure and holy thing that people respect and reverence. And when we've done that, he says then as well, then we, the ye there, can be glorified in Him. Jesus, in His prayer to the Father, talked about the fact that He had glorified the Father in all that He did, and He said, "Now, Father, glorify Me, Your Son." That's the way it works. We first have to give the glory, and then we can receive the glory. And if we want to make it to glory, then we're going to have to do our part. We're going to have to glorify Christ in every area of our lives, in every area of the church, and in everything that we say and do. We sang the song, "Whate'er you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord." We need to be glorifying Him. Everything we do. And we said, what about on my job? On your job, you need to be glorifying Jesus. You can do that. And kids at school, you need to be glorifying Jesus. When you're shopping at the grocery store, you need to be glorifying Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that we run around all the time like some folks do, saying, "Praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus," all the time. To some degree, that's not glorifying Him. That can get to the point where that's just vain and repetitious and has no meaning to it. When we say glorify Him, we mean that He needs to be first and foremost in our thoughts and actions. How do we behave ourselves? What kinds of things do we say? What kind of things do we do? We want to look at His name that is to be glorified. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be glorified. That means that we don't take that name in vain. We don't just run around using it as a byword or something to fill up an empty space. or something to say when we get upset. We need to treat that name with reverence and respect because it is a wonderful name. It is a special name. And we're going to look at some things this morning about just how special that name is. We must exalt Jesus' name because, first of all, we're baptized in His name. His name is a special name. We weren't baptized in the name of Paul or in the name of Apollos or Cephas. Paul points that out. He said, we're baptized in the name of Christ. Is Christ divine? No. We were baptized in His name. If we were baptized properly, at any rate. And I know, you know, we say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but it's by the authority of Jesus, by the authority of His name. It's in His name that we do these things. It's in His name that we go out and teach others to be baptized. Our baptism doesn't mean anything if it wasn't in His name. Acts 2:38, Paul tells them, repent and be baptized. Peter tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 16, the Holy Spirit had fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we need to be sure that we've done that. But having done that, we then realize how important that name is. Because it's the power of that name that is the thing that washes our sins away. And we'll touch on that a little more later on as well. But secondly, we must exalt Jesus' name because it is the name by which we do good. The good that we do, the things that we do to help others are to be done in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. We don't go out there doing good works to get glory for ourselves. At least we shouldn't. We don't go out and give to receive glory for self. Everything that we do as Christians in these areas where we're doing these good works, if we're helping the poor, seeing after the sick, visiting those in prison, or visiting the widows and orphans, all of those things, we're doing these good works out there. Hopefully we're doing some of those good works. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. But when we do those things, we need to be doing them in the name of Jesus. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 41, Jesus says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. He said, he's sending the disciples out and he said, you know, if somebody gives you, just gives you a cup of water in my name. They say, I know you're out here working for Jesus. Here's a cup of water. That's all I got to give you. Here's a cup of water. Jesus said, that person's not going to lose their reward. When we do good, when we do good toward one another, when we help out someone who's traveling through, when we have a visiting preacher and we feed him a meal, we're doing that in the name of Jesus. God promised us. Jesus promised. There's a reward for that. Now, if we're doing it so that He'll get up here and brag about how good our cooking was, then we've missed the point. We need to be doing it to glorify Jesus and to bring glory to His name by the good works that we do. But third, we must exalt Jesus' name because it is powerful. It's a powerful name. You know, there are a lot of names that can get you a lot of things. I listen to the radio and all the radio shows, the talk show hosts. They'll say, go to such and such a website or call such and such a number and mention my name and you'll get this discount or that discount or something. You'll get a month free of this or whatever it is if you'll mention my name. Say, wow, those are some pretty powerful names. You know, sometimes there are people who have names that name, you mention that name and it opens doors for you. You know, it lets you get to things that you couldn't have gotten to otherwise. But none of those names are anything near as powerful as the name of Jesus Christ. He has a powerful name. So powerful that he was able, that the disciples were able through his name to heal the sick, to cast out demons, even to raise the dead by the power of his name. Notice a couple of these. In Acts 3 and verse 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." There was a beggar there, lame, couldn't walk. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And of course, that took him by the hand, and he did. He rose right there and walked. And down in verse 16, as they're explaining the situation, Peter talks about it. He says, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." He said, it's the name. The name. Because he believed in the name, because we believed in the name, that name was able to heal him. That's a powerful name. I don't know any names like that. Now, I know that, you know, there's some famous doctors who know special cases, and somebody says, "Well, you know, that's the name of the doctor you need to go see." But I don't know of a single name that just by mentioning that name, you can heal somebody. But that was the power that Jesus' name holds. That kind of power. And there are several other places. Acts 4 also talks about his name. And verse 30 says, "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." Seems odd for him to be referring to a 33-year-old man who died, rose from the dead, and is gone as a holy child, doesn't it? But that's what they say. His name, by the name of Jesus, these people were able to be healed, and these wonders and signs were done. Acts 16:18 also talks about the ability to cast out demons by that name. And in fact, others, when they saw the power that the name of Jesus had, they decided they were going to use it themselves. In Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 20, we see some of these individuals. Certain ones were the seven sons of Sceva the Jew. And they said, they saw that what was going on. They said, you know, here's Paul and Peter, and they're going around, and they're casting out these demons and healing folks and things. And it seems like all they're doing is saying that name, and so we can do that. And so what they would do, and they weren't the only ones, but some others as well, they would go around and they would try to cast out evil spirits, and they would say, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." Well, these seven sons of Sceva went into a fellow's house and tried that little trick. And they found out that you needed faith in that name for it to have its power. Because when they tried that, the evil spirit that was in the man answered and he said, "I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Don't know you. And you guys don't seem to know Jesus." Because any of the apostles or the disciples who had faith in Jesus and had the ability to perform miracles could do that. You know, they had faith in Jesus. That name was powerful. But these guys didn't seem to have that faith. And so the man that had the Spirit jumped on them, and he beat them all half to death and ripped the clothes off them. They ran out wounded and bleeding and naked out of the house, all seven of them. One fella jumped on all seven of them. But when Paul mentioned that name, when Peter mentioned that name, when the other disciples who had faith in Jesus mentioned that name, the demons came out. That's a powerful name. That name was able to overcome what those seven men couldn't. That demon overcame those seven men and tore them to shreds. But Jesus' name was powerful enough to overcome it. They just didn't have faith in him. But notice what happens as we move along in verse 17, "This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus." and fear fell on them all. They started to realize the power of Jesus' name. And it says, the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. They began to realize just how important a name it really was when they saw that these guys couldn't do the same thing. That's a special name. You have to have a special relationship with the one who owns that name to be able to do those things. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. You know how we all are from time to time. Slipping by a little, thinking we're getting away with a little something. When this event occurred, those that believed, they came and started confessing the things they'd been doing. They knew that if this kind of power, they were afraid of what was going to happen to them. We need to get some of that fear back in us. Sometimes we don't respect the name of Jesus like we should. But they showed their deeds. Many of them which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. I guarantee you, we got some things in our house we ought to burn. You got some music or some videos or some books that you ought to burn. They're not healthy. They're not righteous. They're not encouraging righteousness. They're encouraging sin. But we don't have the respect for the name that they did. That's why they brought their 50,000 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money. We wouldn't dare think of giving up that much. But verse 20 says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You want the church to grow? You want the word of God to prevail? It's not going to happen until we give him and his name the respect it deserves. As long as we casually, half-heartedly go about our business, we'll never experience the full power of his name. We're more likely to be like those seven sons of Sceva who got wounded because they didn't have the faith they needed. Powerful name. We also see, fourth, that we must exalt Jesus' name because it is authoritative. You know, all the time, we have to have authority for what we do. Well, if you're going to go get a car title, well, you've got to have some authority for that. You've got to show proof that you own the car. Well, you're supposed to have to. And those folks don't always do what they're supposed to do. But, you know, if you're going to take out a loan in somebody's name, well, you've got to prove that you're the person whose name you're using. You've got to have authority to do those things. Well, the same is true in religion. We've got to have authority for what we're doing. Well, Jesus' name is authoritative. It's all the authority we need. If Jesus has put his stamp of approval on it, then it's approved. And we have the authority through him. Acts chapter 9 and verses 27 through 29. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in, going out. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. You see, folks who don't have authority don't like it when you do have authority. They get upset about that. And these folks, they recognize as Paul came around and he began to preach and teach in Jesus' name, they didn't like it. Because they saw he had authority for the things he was teaching and preaching and practicing. And they didn't like to have that happen to them. They didn't want to lose their false power that they had without the authority to have it. Colossians 3:17, of course, we see, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We've got to have his authority to do it. Sometimes we think that only applies to worship. And there's been a lot of teaching. Well, we don't have authority for instrumental music, and that's why we don't use it. Well, we don't have authority for this, and that's why we don't do it. We don't have authority for that. We have to have authority for the things we do in worship. What about in your life? He doesn't say here, whatever you do in worship. He says, whatever you do, in word or deed, you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Does Jesus approve of everything that we say and do? I bet not. I'd be very surprised if any of us could say, yeah, everything that I say and do throughout the week, Jesus is happy with it. But we need to be working on that. You notice that? That verse is a command. It's not just a suggestion. It's not, you can do this if you want to. It's not an option. It's a command. Whatever you do in word or deed, you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We need to take this seriously. Jesus' name is to be reverenced and respected, and the authority of that name is to be followed by us. Not just in worship, but throughout the rest of the week. And until it is, He will not bless us. We see the authority in 1 Corinthians 5, 4 and 5, and in 2 Thessalonians 3, 6, the authority of the word of the name of Jesus to withdraw fellowship from and to discipline church members who are out of line. And we need to use that authority from time to time to get folks to straighten up and do right. And of course, now that's not something that an individual is going to do. That's something that the church does through the leadership, through the elders, to withdraw that fellowship. But notice what he says there in 1 Corinthians 5. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He says, you got to destroy the flesh. Now he's not talking about physical death here. When he says destroy the flesh, he's talking about the fleshly desires, the sinfulness. That's what we're trying to destroy. Because that's obviously, if you kill the person who was in sin and they died in sin, they'd be lost. He's not talking about killing folks. He's talking about destroying the sin in their life. But we do it by the power of Jesus, by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Well, we also see that we must exalt Jesus' name because we can have life through it. John chapter 20 and verse 31. These are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. And in fact, we must exalt Jesus' name because it is the only one that can save. Acts chapter 4 and verses 10 through 12. Peter says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's it. The name of Jesus is the only name that saves. You can't holler out John the Baptist. Can't holler out Elijah or Moses. You can't be saved by Paul, Peter, or Luke, or Mark, or Matthew, or any of the apostles, or any of the writers of any of the Bible books. Jesus is the only name with the power to save. But then we also must exalt Jesus' name because it is worth dying for. There's not much worth dying for, but the name of Jesus is worth dying for. What a precious name. Something worth dying for. Acts chapter 15 and verse 26. The Bible talks about men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 21 and verse 13, as Paul was on his way to be arrested and imprisoned, he said, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of Jesus." What are you ready to do for the name of Jesus? Show up at church once a month? Do that for the name of Jesus. Give a dollar every 3 or 4 weeks? I'll do that for the name of Jesus. What are you really willing to do for the name of Jesus? It's a special name, and it's worth dying for. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4:14 that if we're reproached for the name of Christ, we should be happy. The disciples, when they were persecuted, they rejoiced that they were lucky enough to be persecuted for Jesus' sake because of the name of Christ. We must exalt Jesus' name because it will be exalted. It's going to happen anyway, whether you do it or not. It's going to happen. So you might as well join in and take part. Because God's not going to let that name go quietly into the dark of night. It's not going to happen. That name will be exalted. Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. He says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue, that name is going to be exalted. And in fact, it already has been and is. We must exalt Jesus' name because it is above every other name. In Philippians 2:9, we see that. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I think some folks don't think so. Some folks think their name is more important than Jesus. Some folks think the preacher's name is more important than Jesus. I had a conversation with somebody the other day. She was Reverend so-and-so, and Reverend so-and-so, and Pastor so-and-so, and Reverend so-and-so. And it had all these little titles for her. And the question came up. I enjoy hearing that Brother Johnny Beckwith was the first one I heard mention this, and I thought, boy, that just hits the nail on the head. I said, what do you call Jesus? She said, well, I call him Jesus. I said, how come these other guys get a special fancy title in front of their name and Jesus doesn't? Is their name better than his? I've never thought about it before, but it made a lot of sense when Johnny mentioned that. You know, we give all sorts of titles to people. Most Right Reverend so-and-so. Honorable so-and-so. Pastor so-and-so, Doctor so-and-so. Give them all these religious titles. And then run around talking about Jesus as my friend. Where's the respect for his name? He's the one whose name actually has the power and the authority and the ability to save. It's his name you baptize. Why would we give all these other folks all this authority and all of this power and raise their name and exalt their name? And some folks expect their name to be exalted. They get real upset if their name's not exalted. Upset them. They need to be upset because they've got it backwards. We are here to exalt Jesus. And his name is the name. That's why we put his name on the church. We don't call it the church of Ron or Philip or Alec. It's the church of Christ. These other folks, they might as well go on and put their name up there on the sign because they think they run it. Some of them will tell you as much, this is my church. And you don't act that way in my church. Oh, it's your church. Well, at least they're honest about it. In the name of Jesus. It is not a name to be thrown around casually. Think how you would feel if instead of the way that people use Jesus' name or God's name in vain, what if they threw your name around like that? How would you feel about that? Would you get tired of hearing folks calling out your name in the middle of the grocery store and, who are you? I wasn't talking about you. Well, that's my name you call. Well, I just had to say something because I ran over my toe with the buggy. I had to holler out something, so I didn't realize it was your name. And we do that kind of thing. We throw the name of Jesus around, drag it in the dirt, and we call ourselves Christians. And see, Christ is right there in that name. If we're going to call ourselves Christian and we're going to apply His name to who we are and claim that we're followers of Him and take that as part of our name, then we better live up to it. We better respect it. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you can become one. You can do so by believing in Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Son of God, and being buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. If you've done that to become a Christian, but perhaps you are not living the life of a Christian, perhaps Jesus would be ashamed to have His name associated with you. And you need to respect that name. You need to get yourself back in a right relationship with Him so that He can have His name in your life with honor. And that His name will be glorified in you. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.